We're going to start Chabez Amid Beis. Amid Beis, next page. All the way at the bottom of the page. Chabez Amid Beis, four lines in the bottom of the page. Two lines here we learned. Last week there was. Okay, but the Mishnah said that at the beginning, what did they do? They used to light torches. When the Beis Din made the month of the Shchodesh, so they light torches, and then the next mountain saw it, and soon everybody saw. Then the Baitusim came and started doing wrong things, so they changed it. They used to send out Shluchim. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon. So now the question is, sometimes a month of 29, sometimes a month of 30. When did they light torches? For both months? For 1 month? In other words, they had to light torches. If they lit torches a month after 29 days and a month after 30 days, so the people still wouldn't know which one it is, so to speak. Right? So the Brisah says as follows. Ein Masi and Masois, they only lit the torches El Achede Shenira Bizmani, on a moon which was seen in its time, Lekache, to make it holy, meaning after 29 days. A month after 29 days was called Bizmani. After 30 days was called Ibure, it's like a pregnant month, because it's an extra month. So it says, when did they light torches? Only on a month after 29 days, meaning that if a guy came the 30th morning and said they saw a moon after 29 days, let's marshal. Monday was the 29th day of the month. Monday night they saw the moon. Tuesday they came to Beis Din. So Tuesday night, Beis Din would light the torches. Yeah, but they understood that Beis Din did it in the morning, mm-hmm, from what they saw after 29 days. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the way it would work.
So didn't they miss it already? Or it doesn't matter?
It didn't matter. They had to know for the Yom Tovim that came up later.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't know. Davening was the same. In the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't need it. You know, they were talking about in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So they really didn't know. Till them, they said 2 days. I don't know what they said. So he said, when did they light the torches? The day following the day Beis Din proclaimed it. Meaning, if Beis Din proclaimed the month, Tuesday morning, they made Tuesday the Shchodesh after 29 days. So they lit it Tuesday night, and they understood that Tuesday was day Aleph. So the Gemara says, in the May, are you saying from here, Da Chosar Avdinin, that only on a missing month of 29 days they did it? Amale Lem Avdinin, they didn't do it on the first and the full month, mm-hmm, my time up. Why not? Why didn't they do it on a full month? Amar, mm-hmm, Rab Zayda said as follows. Now there was a problem. If Rosh Chodesh fell out on Friday, that means Thursday was the 29th day. Right. Now, Thursday night, the Edom saw the moon. They came Friday morning to Beis Din. Now, Beis Din can light torches Friday night because it's Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Right? So when would they have to light the torches? Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So people wouldn't know what happened over here. People wouldn't know what happened over here. Did Beis Din proclaim Friday Rosh Chodesh? Mm-hmm. Or did Beis Din proclaim Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? They wouldn't know because they didn't light the torches until Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So he says, Amos Avde, when should be able to light the torches? Should we do it Bafuke Shabbat when Shabbos leaves, meaning Saturday night? Mm-hmm. He says, the Iyamit Navid Name Amoli. Now, if you're going to say you do it also on a full month, he says, I'm also limited, they're going to make a mistake. Why? Amid, they're going to say, maybe it was really a lacking month, maybe it was really a month of 29 days, maybe Friday was Rosh Chodesh, but they didn't do it because you can't do it on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So people would know, the reason they didn't light the torches from yesterday is because Mishum Dalayavshu was not possible because of Shabbos. Or Dilmer, people will think maybe, Malehu Ubizmani Avdu. And it was a full month. That means Shabbos became Rosh Chodesh, and they did it Saturday night because Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is people are going to make a crazy mistake. See, this is very simple. The Gemara, the Braitzer says, The only time they lit torches was when the month was 29 days. So Gemara says, why didn't you do it for a 30-day one? So he said, because if Erev Shabbos falls out the 30th day, and Beis Din proclaims that Erev Chodesh, which means makes it Aleph, they can't light the torches Friday night, but Saturday night, so people won't know, was Friday Erev Chodesh, or was Shabbos Erev Chodesh, and it's going to make a whole mishmash. So therefore, Beis Din did as follows. They did it only on a missing month. Now, what happened? 1 second. They did on a missing month. So what happened if Rosh Chodesh fell out on Friday? Mm-hmm. Yeah? They didn't do it at all. No, I'm sorry. They did it Saturday night. Maybe Saturday night would be 30. No, people know that's not true. Because for a full month, they never did it. Mm-hmm. So if they did it Saturday night, people would understand for sure that Friday was Rosh Chodesh, not Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Because on a full month, they don't do it. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. The Levit ben Amali ben Achas, do it both months, full and missing month. Do it both times. And the Gemara says, V'chimikla Rish Chedish Be'er of Shabbos. And if Rish Chedish falls out on Friday, so then you have a dilemma again. When should they do it? Friday night they can't. Saturday night if they do it, people won't know if it's Saturday Rish Chedish or Friday Rish Chedish. He said, but in that case, loy levit klal, don't do it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, v'kiv and doloy avdina mitzoy Shabbos. And people will see that you didn't do it mitzoy Shabbos. Even though avdina amali, even though normally we do it on a full month. Mm-hmm. And people see, really, if the month was full, they would do it Saturday night. Mm-hmm. But people see it's not done Saturday night either. So they would understand, may the other people would know, the chasav, it's a missing month. And therefore, they didn't do it on Friday night because of Shabbos, but really, Friday was Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, asks a very simple question. Do it, but for a full month and a missing month. What's the problem? Friday night, I mean, when Friday was Rosh Chodesh, after 29 days. So people, so he says, like, very simple. Don't do it at all. Not Friday night, obviously, you can't. Saturday night, also not. Because if you did it Saturday night, people will think Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Don't do it Saturday night. And then people will understand, why is not Beis Din doing it? Mm-hmm. Because Friday was Rosh Chodesh, and Friday night you're not allowed to do it, and you solve all the problems. So the Gemara says, Afilo hachi asin l'mitte. The Gemara says they will still make a mistake. Why? Because Amri people will think, Hai malihu. Really it's a full month. And they should have done it Saturday night. Why didn't they? V'hai de layav did this nas, something happened that they weren't able to do it. Like, Rashi says, why didn't they do it?
Yeah.
Should I say people used to get drunk on Shabbos? That's what Rashi says.
What if it's overcast and they can't see the other mountain?
So at least, they were able to do what they... First of all, if it's overcast, it's higher up anyway, the clouds.
Foggy?
If it's foggy, but you do your best, no?
I guess in a desert area over there, it doesn't get foggy. Yeah, in Israel it gets foggy. Yeah. I've seen
thick fog in Israel. Listen, they can only do what they have to do, what they're able to do. But Rashi explains, on Shabbos people used to get drunk. Used to verbring Shabbos, used to get drunk. And maybe sometimes, Saturday night, the guys that you normally did it were drunk and they couldn't do it. So again, the Gemara asks, you're still going to make a mistake. Because if you're not going to do it Friday night or Saturday night, what will people think? That really it's Friday Rosh Chodesh. No, I'm sorry. Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Really Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. They're going to think, why didn't they light the torches Saturday night? Because they were drunk. The real thing is Rosh Chodesh was Friday.
Everybody knows that going to be drunk on Friday night.
Listen, you know why Birchas Koyanim, you don't do it Mincha? Verecha, what the Chazan says.
Yeah.
Because in the olden times, the middle day meal, which was the main meal in those places, they used to drink. And if you're drunk, you can't duchen. No. That's why on a fast day, we say it at Mincha, because they didn't eat, so they weren't drunk. Yeah. But in a regular day, the Chazan, or in Eretz Yisrael, when they duchen, they only duchen during Shacharis. Why? Because you get drunk in the afternoon. So Shabbos used to drink with the meal. or for bringing or whatever. And Saturday night, they're out of commission. So now the Gemara asks a different question. So Leperl, the maskana of the Gemara was, we do it in the more on a missing month, not on a full month. And then you don't have any mistakes. So Gemara is now reverse. Why don't you do it only on a full month and not on a missing month? Do it the opposite way. When the month is full, that's when you do it. So the lemon, amali, v'le'levet achosu klal. So the Gemara says, why don't you do it just on a full month and not in a missing month? Then you'll never have a problem about Friday, with Friday night and that. Amir Abaye says, you can't. Mishum bitum malacha la'am shnei yamim. Abaye says, people are not going to do work for 2 days. Now, Rashi learns, not like Tesis, Rashi learns because of Rosh Hashanah. If they only lit it on a full month, now Rosh Hashanah, the Jews have a problem. Because they don't know, it's like the famous story, the guy says, what stop should I get off? Get off, look at me, get off the stop before me. Rosh Hashanah could be after 29 days. Rosh Hashanah could be after 30 days. If they only lit the torch after 30 days, people are not going to know. Maybe it's a missing month, so they're going to not do work already the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And Abaye says they're going to do malach, not do work for 2 days. And we don't want to stop people from doing work 2 days. Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Taisus says, no, the Shchedish B'chal people didn't work too much. You know, women have a minig, they don't do certain works on the Shchedish. So the men also didn't do certain works. So Taisus learns it means every Shchedish. People are not going to do work.
It's celebrating.
Yeah. Okay, now the Gemara goes into a very simple Gemara. How did they light the torches? Poshe Begashmis, what did they use for the torches? So Gemara says, in Kate and Mishnah said, Kate and Messiah Masois, how did they light the torches? Mevi and Klunas says, they brought these long poles of cedar wood, and the Mishnah said, they lit it on this mountain, that mountain, you know the whole thing. Amar Rav Yudah says the following, there's four kinds of eris. Eris normally is translated as, Gemara's going to say the second one. There's four eris. Eris, Katrum, Eicham, and Uvresh. Okay? The four types of eris trees. Mm-hmm. In fact, eris is actually the palm trees. So he says, there are four types of eris. So katrum, the Gemara says, what's katrum? Amarav adra. It's adra tree. Tveirav chela amre, mavliga tree. Va'amrla, some people say, is gulmish tree. Whatever. The pligad rabba baravuna, dama rabba baravuna, amir beirav, asarim mine arazim hain. There's not four types. Rav Yudha says there's four types of eris trees. He says there's 10 types of eris trees. Where do you see 10 types of eris trees? Because it says in the pasuk, etim ba midbar, or given the midbar, eris, shita, hadas, echemen, asim barava, and I will put in that over, reish, tidor, asher, yachtov. So you see that there's 10 of them. And, if you count, the Mepharshim say right away there's only 7. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara is going to say another 3. The Gemara is, in fact, going to ask it's only 7. Eretz is Arza, cedar. Shita is Tunisa, pine tree. Adash Asa, I'm sorry, not palm, cedar tree. Hadas is myrtle. Echam and Afarsima is the balsam tree. Beresh Berasa is boxwood. Tidar ishaga fir tree. Ta'ashu shavina tree. So the Gemara says, Hani shivu, but it's only 7, you said 10. So he calls it Avdimi, a sifalim, they added 3 more, Alainim, Almainim, and Almugim. So the Gemara says, what's Alainim? Is Butme, elm tree. Almainim is Baluti, oak tree. Almugim is Kasisa, coral tree. But the Gemara says, these are all types of eris tree. These are all eris trees. Ikadami, other people say, Arenim, Armenim, and Almugim. What are the 3 additional ones? Not Alenim, Almenim, and Almugim, but Arunim, Armenim, and Almugim. Whatever. And the Gemara says again, Arenim is other laurel trees, Armenim is Dove chestnut trees, and Almugim is Kasisa coral tree. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Vitziya dele yavrendo, a mighty ship cannot cross it." What does it mean? Of the, they used to get coral from the sea. Mm-hmm. So he says, what does the pasuk say? "Vitziya did a mighty ship, leyavrendo cannot cross it." Amir Avraham said, "Zuburni gadol." It's a large ship called Burni. It's a very large ship called Burni. I was going to say, this is interesting. Eich Avdo, how did they use the Burni ship? It was a big ship, how did they use it? He says as follows. Maise shit alfi gavre betreisi yarchashata. They would bring 6,000 men for 12 months at a time to row the boat. V'amra, other people say, treisi alfi gavre beshiti yarchashana. 12,000 men for 6 months. V'tonu lecholah adeshachna. And these thousands of men would load the ship with sand. Now he's explaining, how did they get coral? Is like the weeds in the ocean. Mm-hmm. How did they get coral? So they said as follows. They had these massive ships, and they had to sink it to the bottom of the ocean. This is where the coral is. Mm-hmm. So they would, these 12,000 men or 6,000 men would load the boat up with sand, mm-hmm. that it would sink. And then the carter atuna de vinter becasisa, they tied rope of flax to the corals. The carter of besvina, and the other side of the rope they tied to the boat. Mm-hmm. That means what they did was basically they sunk the boat to the bottom of the ocean. They took rope and tied the corals to the boat. And then it says they removed the sand. As Gemara is going to say, they removed the sand, and the boat therefore went back up. And it schlepped with it all the coral.
How did they remove the sand?
Oh, the 6,000 men took off the sand.
Did it go underwater or remove sand?
Underwater?
No, it was on the boat.
The boat went under the water, right?
No, but it was a very big boat, so I don't know. One second. The Natal Chala, then they would take the sand, the Shadal Avari, and throw it overboard, the Kamad the Midland, and when they kept throwing it off, Akromasya, the boat rises, and the coral was so valuable that they would make one measure of coral for 2 measures of silver. Which means coral was twice as expensive, twice as valuable as silver.
Does it say they had scuba gears?
No.
Even if it's heavy, you could pull up.
I'm sorry. It says, Rashi says, the coral fields were located in relatively shallow water whose depth was less than the height of the burni. Okay, that's the story. So the ship didn't sink underwater. It needs scuba divers. But the Gemara says, one second. Talas Parvos Avin, there are 3 ports that did this. Tarti Be'arami, 2 in Armenia. V'chada Be'parsoi, 1 in the, by the Persians. The very Arami, the one by the Armenian Mask and Kasisa, they would bring up corals. The very Parsoi, the one in the Persian territory, Mask and Magnus brought up pearls. Umayakra Parvasa de Misham Migig. And it was called the Port of the Kingdom. Okay. That's the story. So the Gemara is just discussing the various different types of eders, of cedar trees. One opinion says there were 4 types of eders trees, another opinion says there were 10 types of eders trees. Now, then it says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol shita v'shita shenatul nochrim, each pine tree that the Goyim took from Yerushalayim, it says when the Goyim destroyed Yerushalayim, they took with them all the pine trees. Because it was a very expensive, good tree. So any cheetah, any pine tree that the Goyim took, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'achzir Olah. Hashem is going to give back, when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to bring it back to Yerushalayim.
How did they take pine tree out?
Huh?
How did they take pine tree out?
I don't know. They cut it down.
We have a pine tree in our home from Israel. We planted.
Yeah? Small. No, but these are big pine trees, obviously, that they took.
Take it out.
Yeah, they got a big tree like that. Why? They used to tie ropes there. In the old times, they had a lot of manpower. Huh? No, he said, how did they uproot it from the ground? Okay, Shinamar, it says in the Pasuk, Etein Bamidbar, Eretz Shita. I'm going to put into the desert Eretz Shita. And Ve'ein Midbar Elu Yerushalayim. Midbar means Yerushalayim, like it says, Tzion Midbar Hayasa, that Tzion became a Midbar. So therefore it says that any pine tree they took, Hashem's going to give it back. V'amir Rabbi Yechanan, this is an interesting Gemara. Any, Rabbi Yechanan says, Kol Alei Mitaira, whoever learns Taira, Ve'ein Malam that doesn't teach it, Deima Lahadas Bamidbar, is similar to a myrtle tree, a dasin tree, in the desert. What does it mean? He says, Adasim have a good smell. In a midbar, it's a waste, because nobody's there. So he says, whoever learns Torah and doesn't teach is a wasted person.
Okay, now these trees that we learned, these are the type of trees that they lit up,
yeah,
the torches?
Yeah.
Do we learn that they used to make shavings out of it, so it would burn better or something? Or
just
lit the branches like that?
No, I think they did. One second, they used...
And the corals, the little corals themselves?
It's Lavdavka, because they had so many different types of these trees. The different types of trees. It said they only lit the best one to burn. The Gemara's not saying they lit all 10. The Gemara's just saying they lit, right, whichever burned better, whichever one they had.
They didn't have any oil from the dead.
They did, they put it into oil. Here they had Atzi Shemen, and they lit it with, yeah. Then it says, so one opinion says, if you learn Torah and don't teach it, you're like a wasted tree in the desert. Ikadami the Gemara is the opposite. Well, Kalalemit, not the opposite. Kalalemit Torah, whoever learns Torah. Or Melamden teaches it. But Malkum Shin Tamidi Chachamim, where Tamidi Chacham don't exist, meaning he's the only one teaching, Daima Lahad is by midbar. He's like a myrtle in a wilderness, the chavir, which is very precious. It's two opposite opinions. One opinion says a myrtle, a hadassim in the desert is a waste. And the other one says, no, it's very choshev because you're the only one smelling up the place with good smells. V'amir Abyechanan said, Eilam naiv de chav mo is the idol worshippers who persecute the Jews. She'enlam takon, there's no remedy for them. Why? Shenama, because it says in the Pasuk, Tachas and Necheshis, instead of copper, Avizav, I'll bring gold. Vesachas Habaz, instead of iron, Avikesav, I'll bring silver. Vesachas Reitzim, and instead of wood, I'll bring copper. Vesachas Avonim, instead of stones, I'll bring iron. Okay? So it says, so you see, all these things are replaceable. Okay? Now, Tachas Rabbi Kiva Vechaverov, but in the place of Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues, that were tortured by the Goyim, by the Romans, my Mevian, what can you bring instead? In other words, he says, the people don't understand. All the physical things you can replace. Rabbi Kiva and the students you can't replace. Mm-hmm. So it says, therefore, v'aleim mu'emev, v'nikesi damam, le'nikesi. Hashem says, the blood of Israel, that they shed, I will not cleanse them. Meaning Hashem said, I will always hold it against them. It's the fact that they shed the blood. Then it says, from where did they, which point did they light the torches? So he says as follows. The Mishnah said they did from Beis Balsan, the various different places. So the Gemara says, where's Beis Balsan? Amar Rav said, Zubiras. Biram. It's outside Eretz Yisrael. My Gaila, what is diaspora? So he says, Zuv Pumpadisa, the city of Pumpadisa. Mm-hmm. Now, it says over here as follows. The main settlement of Jews in the time of the Gemara was in Pumpadisa. Really, the Gemara says, Nardoa was the main section.
Where is Pumpadisa?
In Bavel, in Iraq.
Iraq?
Yeah. Iraq is Bavel. Mm-hmm. The whole Talmud Bavli came from Saddam Hussein's place. It's true, from Iraq. No, Iraq is Bavel. Now, originally, Narda was the center of Yiddishkeit. But then there's a whole story that they were killed after the death of Shmuel. It was destroyed by the king Palmyra. So King Palmyra, that after Shmuel was the Rav of Nardor. So after Shmuel died, he destroyed the city of Nardor, and Pumpadisa became the big academy. So Rav Yisus says, what does Golus mean? Pumpadisa.
Shmuel HaNavi?
No, Shmuel of the Gemara. Oh. No, Shmuel of the Navi was before the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, yeah.
It was before David. Mm-hmm. He anointed David as king. So, yeah, so it.
I went to his.
Shmuel HaNavi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Near Yerushalayim.
Yeah, Shmuel HaNavi is buried. They know where his cave is. But you're talking about. Once in a while. You're talking about 410, 420 is 830, plus 70 is 900. You're talking 1,000 years after Shmuel HaNavi. This, Pumpadisa. It's 1,000 years after Shmuel HaNavi.
Because there's so many
eating
there.
Yeah. In fact, it's so interesting that the Gemara at the end of Ksubis speaks about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. If you move out of Eretz Yisrael, you're an idol worshiper. I mean, all the sharp things. So the Me'iri, the Rishonim write, when the Gemara speaks about Eretz Yisrael, in those days it meant Bavel too. Because Bavel was such the center of Teda, that if you left Bavel, you're also an idol worshiper, and all these terrible things that the Gemara speaks about Eretz Yisrael. The whole Bavel, the whole Teir Shebalpeh that we have today, basically was from Bavel. B'machshakim Heshivani says, from darkness you established me, refers to Talmud Bavli, because it was in Golos.
Has there been a country that hasn't killed us or kicked us out?
Meanwhile, America.
Meanwhile.
See what happens later. Okay, then it says, no, but the Mar says more so. Tana, we learned in a Braise, kol echad ve'echad neitel avuka biyadi. In the Mishnah said a din that, you know, they lit on this mountain, people on this mountain, people on that mountain. Then the Gemara is saying now in a Braise, when the Jews saw the torches being lit, every Jew took torches and started waving them. So the whole Eretz Yisrael became, the whole bubble became one big fire. Because everybody grabbed torches and just celebrated by lighting it to make sure everybody knew. Like it says, kol echad ve'echad neitel avuka biyad, every person in Golus took the torches. Va'elu reish gagum went up on the top of his roof. And he says that when everybody in Pumpadisa saw that it was lit up, so the whole Pumpadisa, the whole Golus became lit up. Tanya Rabbi Yolev, Shimon Elazar says, Avchorim v'chiyah v'gedah v'chavrisah. They also lit it on the mountains, Zechedim, Chayod, Gedah and its companions. Ikadami beinu bein avakayim, that even the points in between they lit. These were situated outside Eretz Yisrael. So Marchoshev, one person enumerates his side of Eretz Yisrael. Or Marchoshev, I Gisa. And the other one, the different rabbis basically said their sides of Eretz Yisrael where they were lit. Amar Rabbi Yechon and said, Bein kol achas v'achas, between each torch of the five relay places was achas a mishmeina parsois, 8 parsa. Now, there's 4 mil in a parsa. They make a simple cheshbon over here.
Is that the same as Persian mile?
Yeah. A mil is a Persian mile. Now, every parsa is 8,000 amis, right? 8,000 amis is like 12,000 feet. 12,000 feet is 2.3 miles, la'erach, okay, or 3 miles. And that's one parsa. And the distance was 8 parsa. Meaning it was like 18 miles between each of the relay places.
It's a long way.
18 miles, yeah, but it was up on top, so you're able to see it.
That's usually maximum visibility.
Huh?
That's usually maximum
visibility, but that's... Well, the Gemara says, Kama Avalu, so how much was the combined distance between all the points? Tolosu v'tarti, 32 parsa. Because the Gemara says, it was 5 relay places... So there's 4 places in between, and each one had 8 parsas, so it's 32 parsas.
Like you said, everybody else lit it too, so...
But the Gemara said, one second, the Gemara says, Ha'id Netuva, but there's more parsas between Mount Olivet and Beis Balsam. Meaning, the Gemara says the five wheeling places, it starts from Mount Olives and it ends in Beis Balsam. And the Gemara says altogether it's 32 parsa. So the Gemara says, no, it's much more than 32 parsa.
Yeah.
So the Gemara answers, no. Amr Abaye Estume Astum Lodachi. The roads have been obstructed. Like it says in Nisachas Dakir Vasirim, I'm going to block your roads with thorns. So basically, what does he mean? He means it's 32 parsa the way the crow flies. Mm-hmm. I mean, air miles. Mm-hmm. It went straight, but the roads taka took more than 32 parsa. Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchok Amar, where do we see the roads have been closed? Because it says, Nesivaisa Iza, I twisted my paths, meaning Hashem twisted the path, so it took much more. Okay, now the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Chotze G'day Lahayse B'Yerushalayim. Now, okay, so the first thing the Mishnah discussed, how they lit the torches. Now, the Gemara is going to explain, what did Bezin do with the witnesses when they came? Okay, we learned that when the witnesses saw the moon, they all came to Bezin the next morning. Where did they go? What did they do? So that's what this Mishnah is saying. Chatzah G'day La'isi B'Yerushalayim. There's a very big courtyard in Yerushalayim. U'Beis Yazik Ha'isi Nikraz. It was called Beis Yazik. For whatever reason, that's what it was called. U'Lasham into this big chatzah, this big courtyard, Kol Ha'edim Wisconsin. All the witnesses would gather. I mean, that was the place, the meeting place of all the witnesses that came to see the moon. Ubezdin Beit Kneisim Sham, and that's where Bezdin would examine the witnesses, you know, call them in to make sure that they saw the moon properly. Vesudas Gedele Seisalam, they used to make a large feast. Because Bezdin knew the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So Bezdin knew if you give him a lot of free food, they're going to come to say that they saw the moon. No, oh, Bezin examined the witnesses. He's going to say in a second.
Maybe there's a lot of witnesses came.
Huh?
A lot of witnesses.
A lot of witnesses came.
Yeah.
Now it says.
Bezin had money. Collecting the money.
Now there's an interesting argument here between Rashi and the Me'iri. When the Mishnah says that they gathered in the Beis Yazik, okay, and it says they were there a whole day, Rashi learns that's only the witnesses that came on Shabbos. Now, there's a din as follows. The Gemara is going to talk more about this, but the halacha is as follows. You're not allowed to walk 2,000 amos outside of a city. What happens if you come inside the city? You're only allowed to walk within 4 amos. You can't go anywhere else. You came outside the tchum. Mm-hmm. If you come outside the tchum, you're restricted in the city only to walk inside an enclosed area. Mm-hmm. You couldn't roam around the cities. Mm-hmm. The witnesses that came on Shabbos came, like we learned in Mechal Shabbos, so they came from outside tchum Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Outside the 4,000 feet from outside the city. So Rashi learns when the witnesses came on Shabbos, Bezdin put them in this courtyard, which was enclosed, and they had to stay there a whole Shabbos because they were not allowed to walk anywhere because they came from outside the Tchum. Mm-hmm. Now it wasn't necessary anymore to be Mechal Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So once they came into this courtyard, that's where they were allowed, they had to stay. They were not allowed to go into this, past this place. The Me'iri learns and other Dishenim learn, no. This courtyard was every time the witnesses came. Every time the witnesses came, where did they go? To the Beis Yazik. And they made big meals. B'shvil shayirigin lovet, that they should come to testify that they saw the moon. Like we said before, people like free food, they come. Then it says, B'rishayna, initially, in the earlier times, lo'yazazim misham kalayim. The witnesses stayed there the entire day. Why? So like we just explained, because of Shabbos, they couldn't move, so they had to be there a whole day. Other Mefarshim learn that they stayed there a whole week. Even the whole week, they stayed there a whole day. Why? Because Bezdin wanted them available to be able to talk to them. But Hizkin, Rabbi Gamliel Azakin made a takana, though, to make it easier for the witnesses. Meaning as follows, when the witnesses came, especially in Shabbos, so the problem was, they were stuck in that chotzer a whole Shabbos. and people didn't like it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they hesitated to come on Shabbos. Because mm-hmm. they were stuck inside a room the whole Shabbos, you know. So Gamliel made a takana, they can go 2,000 cubits in any direction. Mm-hmm. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel said, you're like the people of the city, you're not stuck in this chotzi, you can move around. For Leizel Bavad, it's another interesting din. Not only that, meaning by the witnesses, but Elav Chachoma Baliated, a midwife who came to deliver a baby. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Vabala Hatsum and Adeleka, the person who comes to rescue others from a fire, or Minagais from an army, or Minanar from a flooding river, or Minamapelis, a collapsed building, Hare Luka Anche, they become like the people of the city, Vyeshama Paim Ruach, Lucho Ruach, and they have 2,000 Amis in every direction. Rav Gamliel made a takana that anybody that was allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos, mm-hmm. that was allowed to come from a different city, mm-hmm. right? So technically, they can only stay within 4 cubits in the city. Mm-hmm. Rav Gamliel made a takana, they can move around the whole city. What cases are they given? Very simple cases. A woman is having a baby, you're allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos, given, Pekuach Nefesh. So the midwife had to come. What happened if the midwife came from a different city? Midwife came from a different city. So she's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? The problem is, but now she comes to the city, she's stuck basically. Because she can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So Gamliel said, no. We'll let you go anywhere that a guy from the city can go. You can even walk 2,000 amas anywhere outside of the city.
Mm-hmm. It would become automatic citizen.
Yeah. Why? Because people would hesitate to come. Otherwise. I'll give you an example. One second. I'll give you an example. In practical halacha, yeah? If a woman has to go to the hospital and she needs a labor coach or she needs a doctor or a midwife, whatever, they're allowed to be. That's a great Shabbos to go with them to the hospital because it's pikuach nefesh. They need them. Yep. Or in Eretz Yisrael, I heard. I don't know if this is. I heard this is. Well, I didn't see it written, but normally, if a person has to go to the hospital. Technically, you could drive the car because pikuach nefesh. The problem is, once you get to the hospital, you can't close the mortar. That's already not pikuach nefesh. You're in the hospital already. So that's why, according to halacha, it's definitely better to take a taxi. Because number one, you're not driving, the guy is driving. The guy opens the door, closes the door. I mean, like this, every time you step on the brakes, the light goes on and off. I mean, it's a whole, every time you press the gas pedal.
It's a chesus, it's the guy.
Oh, so one second. So I'm saying, because technically, if you come to the hospital, you can't close the motor. Because that's not pikuach nefesh already. So what they have the goyim in the hospital ask him to close the motor. By Tisrael, where everybody's Jewish, mm-hmm. yeah, so it was a problem. Because you can't have anybody in the hospital close the motor. They're all Jews. What are you going to do? So I heard that Sunday Pascha you could even close the motor. Why? Because people were hesitant to drive to shul, to the hospital mm-hmm. for the wives to have the baby mm-hmm. because they couldn't close the motor. They'd kill their car. And so they Pascha, no, for this sake, you're allowed to do it also. Indirectly, whatever. So Gamliel made a takana that a person is coming to help a woman have a baby, or a guy is coming to save people from a fire. Because, by the way, according to halacha, you can't, if a building is burning, you can't desecrate Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Only if people's lives are involved. Mm-hmm. Today, they paskin that because houses are so close to one another, you can't let a house burn down because it can catch another house, and then it will be pikuach nefesh. But for monetary issues, you can't desecrate Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But if a guy is coming to save people from a fire, so he's allowed to desecrate Shabbos. So technically, once he gets in there, he can only have 4 amis. So Rav Gamliel made it to, or save from the flooding river, or whatever it is, to save people, you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos. And Rav Gamliel made it to Karnit, that once you're in the city, you can go all around the city, like a citizen of the city.
Does this include a memorial? A memorial come for Bris Milah?
You mean to drive?
No, to come from outside from Shabbos.
You can't. Can't bring a sheriff from outside Chum Shabbos because he could have done it before Shabbos. Anything you could do before Shabbos, mm-hmm. you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. But the woman's having a baby on Shabbos, she wasn't having it before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Or the fire, whatever it is, or the witnesses, they couldn't come before Shabbos because they didn't see the moon until Friday night. Mm-hmm. Moshe the Mayo can do a bris on Shabbos, but he can't carry his bags on Shabbos if there's no Eiruv. And there's whatever could be done before Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos.
But if the person is not carrying anything, but the fact that he's already beyond the limits and he's in the city, anywhere in the city is one entity, no? That we could be walking around because he's not carrying anything anymore. And he's already in the city. That's not the case.
No.
That doesn't make sense.
No, because the din was here. If witnesses arrived on Shabbos by traveling behind their tchum, they're not permitted to leave the courtyard. This is in keeping with the law that if one goes behind the tchum of Shabbos, it is therefore restricted for the rest of Shabbos to 4 amis of his current location. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's currently inside a walled enclosure, the walled enclosure is called 4 amis, but not the whole city.
The fact, the moment you reach the city where you, then you're stuck.
He brings down over here Lecheda, Yerushalayim had a wall around it. Mm-hmm. So if Yerushalayim had a wall around it, why can't he move the whole Yerushalayim?
Right?
So Taisus explains that the Gemara is, Taisus asks the question, and Taisus says that the Gemara is speaking after the Goyim broke the wall of Yerushalayim, so there was no more wall. Mm-hmm. And even then they made a takana. But that's what they used to do. Okay, let's just finish the Gemara until the next Mishnah. It's very simple. So the Mishnah said it was Beis Yazik, Yud Ayin Zayin Kuf. So the Gemara said, Barlo, the question was asked, is it Beis Yazik with an Ayin or Beis Yazik without the Ayin? So what's the difference? So the Gemara explains. Beis Yazik Tanan Lishnama Yehu, it's a good expression. Yazik with an ayin because it means Vayaskeo Vyasalkeo, he ringed it out and cleared it. So it's a good expression. Aydilma Beis Yazik Tan, which is an expression of Tzad, because it says, Osib Azikim, he was tied in chains. So Gemara says, Amar Abaya, Abaya says, Kotoshma, come and show you what the name of the city was. Because it says, Sudas Gedele Sayo Asim, they used to make big meals. Kadesh, Regilim Lovit, that used to come. Okay? Now, therefore he says, it means, it was a good thing that they came to. They had meals. It shows it's a good expression, not a painful expression. So you see, Beis Yazik with an ayin and not Beis Yazik without the ayin. And the Gemara says, no, Dilma Tata of them. Maybe there are two types of places, Yazik and Yazik. Mm-hmm. That the Gemara answers. Wow.